From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, what a blessing it is to come together as a family. From all the corners where you sent us this morning, we've gathered here tonight. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for a season like this. I know you're going to speak to us like never before. Let us, my God and my Lord, not leave your presence, this gracious presence, the same as we came. I honor you, I give you praise. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah, you may be seated. Please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, Genesis chapter 20. It's a short Bible lesson. Fasting starts tomorrow, isn't it? Those who are afraid of fasting, I think you should go on vacation. Because we begin our fast, our yearly fast, 21 days from tomorrow. Yes. So I think that maybe the branch pastors probably will meet shortly after church. Yeah, because I don't want to do a general thing per se. What do you think? So, the platforms are very, very critical for these times. You know, when an announcement comes and you are not in the loop, it doesn't help you. So if you're in Georgetown, make sure that you're on the Georgetown Church platform. If you are on the East Bank in Pearl, make sure that you are on the East Bank platform. If you're on the East Coast, make sure that you're on the East Coast Church platform. If you're in Sophia, make sure that you are on the Sophia platform. If you're on the West Bank, make sure that you're on the West Bank platform. If you're in Linden, make sure that you're on the Linden platform. If you're in Batika, make sure that you're on that platform. And if you're in Essequibo, so that once, you know, we decide which direction we're going, you'll not miss it. Because you may be fasting when we are eating, and you may be eating when we are fasting. It won't be nice for you. Yeah, you don't want to be isolated. In this life, isolation is a very bad thing. Yeah, isolation is demonic. And most of the time, what the devil does is his strategy is always to isolate you, to break your relationship and to break your contacts. That's why you see, whenever you get vexed, you don't want to talk to anybody. And vexation is from the devil. That's what the Bible says. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So whenever you get hurt, offended, you see, you withdraw. Uh-huh. He said, come, let me talk to you in person. I want to have fellowship with you. Yeah. And that's right. So that's what he does. He comes and he destroys relationships. He breaks relationships. He kills relationships. You know, so don't, try not to stay in your corner. Be on the platform so that the information and the messages will come to you wherever you find yourself. Can I have a witness for the Lord? Yeah. Wonderful. Genesis chapter 28. I want to read from verse 8. Why not? We can do 8. 10. Let's add 2 verses and go to 10. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 10. 28. Genesis chapter 28. Have you just my voice? I don't know. You forgotten how my voice sounds or something like that? Who's that? Genesis 28. Oh, my English is too fine for you or something like that. 28. Is that how we call it? 28. Yeah. So Genesis chapter 28. Hey, mommy is busy. Genesis 28. Are you there? Verse 10. Bible says that. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. Somebody say a certain place. And tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. May you have an important dream this year. Once upon a time, Akala, what's happening? In another world, we allow it, but not here. Who's that? Sister Joanne, okay. Who's following her? You can't go out. Who's that skinny shit eat? Who's that? Is it Carl Bishop? Share. It's not time to call Bishop. I'm preaching. I remember many years ago when I got saved. 30 years ago. I got saved 30 years ago. Yeah. This September, I'll be celebrating my 31 years in the Lord. Yeah. A whole human being. 31 years. Yeah. I've been around for a few years. Yeah, 79, yeah. Calvin was there when I was born. And I was privileged to be part of a very rugged group where my brother-in-law was the one who was leading us. And we used to pray every Friday. Every Friday. You know, when you get saved in Ghana, or when you get saved in even Africa, you become a strong Christian. Not them kind of dilute Christians they have somewhere else. Yeah. So every Friday night, we've had all night. From 12 midnight to 4 a.m. Every Friday night. Just a small group of us. And among us was one lady. Yeah. Very strong. Choleric. I mean, sometimes we'll be a little tired when we are praying. Hey! She was at the top of her voice. Pray. And we don't pray. We didn't have a church. We was a fellowship where we used to meet in the classroom. So, you know, those Friday nights, you don't get access to the classroom. So we'll pray on a ball field with mosquitoes. Open air prayer. Yeah. And she'll be at the end of the post, but you can hear her wherever you are. You see, there we don't study Jew like we study Jew in some places. I don't know whether it's Jew or Dew or something or Israel or something. I didn't know anything about Jew. We go there and we pray. No, you don't get sick. But in some countries, when you go out, they say Jew. Dew is coming. People covering their head. that's how we grew up. And so, very, very prominent young lady. Our pastor was a prophet. He is still a prophet. He has his church. And he prophesied over all of us that we will travel. I mean, the only negative thing is that as he was prophesying that we're going to travel, he actually lost assistant pastors. That's why I don't want you to go and live in America. That's why I said, if you go and live, they will bring you back. Don't come to me for visa prayer when you want to go and live in America. I don't like church members who migrate to America and Canada and this place. I like church members who go and come back. Yeah, go on vacation, eat some hamburger and come back. Because once upon a time, very good guys, about 6 or 7 of us, including this young lady, were just the support system of this man of God. All of us traveled. Today, his church is almost nothing. If he had the wisdom, at the time, we would have even become branch pastors of his church wherever we were residing. Yeah, the prophecy was very accurate that we all disappeared. And we all found ourselves in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. And we all joined the same church. And so one day we saw, there's this guy. You see, Europe, if you see people coming to church early, especially a guy, it's a miracle. Because the guys are into working for money and all of that. So when you see a guy coming to church, the church starts at 1 p.m. and the guy is there at 12:30. The gate is not open and he's there. Did he meet Jesus on the road to Damascus or something? He saw a bright light. So anytime we will go a little early. You know, if 1 p.m. We'll go 15 minutes to 1, go and open up, set up and all of that. Anytime we go, this new convert who was converted by this, our dear sister, because it was such a blessing because we all left a particular town in Ghana. And then we all found ourselves in the same city in Amsterdam, in the same church. That's how accurate my pastor's prophecy was. And so it was normal. So the pastor of the church that we joined, he was very, very happy because he got about 6 seasoned Christians from Africa who prays from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And in those places, you don't have people doing all those things. So we position us, praise and worship. I used to do praise and worship. I used to do MC sometimes. I used to also do Bible study, they call it. We are positioned all over the places. So this gentleman, we're all impressed. Because this our dear lady who witnessed to him, and he gave his life to Christ, and he came to church. So one day we're having a fellowship after church in one of the brothers' home. And then all of us gathered, with the exception of her. And then I think about half an hour later, we saw herself and this gentleman walk in. She said, "Hey, you take your convert to church, you're taking your convert to the refreshment also." So, we are her brothers, so we were a little concerned. So after eating and drinking, when you eat and drink, then your belly gets full, then you start talking, that kind of thing, right? So when our bellies got full, then we started asking, why are you there born? Why are you here with our sister? What's going on? Because this is, we see that you are getting a little close. We want to know what's going on. And then the guy said, "Please ask your sister." That was the first disgrace. Because in Africa, if you ask a man, and I see you close to a lady, what is your problem or what is happening? He wouldn't have to direct or refer you to the lady. He has to speak. So when he refers you to a lady, it means that it's the lady rather who gave herself to him. And Africans, we don't do that. I don't know these latest Africans who have come these days, man. When we were growing up, a girl never tells a boy that she likes him. If you like him, you pray. You pray. Yeah, kabaya baba, Lord. Lakataya baba. Reka, one of them young pastors, Lord. Kabra seke breke breke brete dere beke brendes. Joshua, Lord. Kabra baba kabra. Yeah. When you come to church, you just behave like you know nothing. That's how you behave as a Christian. Because the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. It's God who touches people's heart, not your face, not your bumsy, not your bobby, not your lipstick. It does not touch a man's heart. It just arouses animals in the skin. That's all. Only animals that are aroused. To touch the inside of a man is the Lord. So we turn to our sister and say, "Sister, we are actually shocked and disappointed that the man who is supposed to be bold enough to come and tell us that, I like your sister, he is referring you to us that you rather should explain. It's a disgrace." So she started explaining something. Said, "No, you brother, you say what is that? We don't want to hear from our sister." And the gentleman said, one day he had a dream. I said, "You have a very important dream this year." Receive it wherever you are. Some of you, it's coming in January. For you, it will be February. Somebody, it's going to be June, but it's coming this year. A very important dream. Yeah. Yeah. So, the gentleman said he had a dream. It was okay, he should explain a dream to us. He said he was in the train. And the train got into an accident. It derailed, and I mean, the coaches came apart, and everybody died except him. And as he was in the coach, you know, hollering for help, shouting for help, lo and behold, not an angel, not a doctor, not a nurse, our sister appears in the dream, and she was the only one who appeared to come and save him from that sleep. And so he believes that she is God's gift for him. Yeah. Oh, come and see our sister. Her head was getting very big. I wonder if they talk to each other now. They got married against our advice. She left us, went to another church, married there, got about 2 children or so. After a few years, they divorced, became bitter against each other. I don't even know where she's at now. Same guy who come half an hour before the church door opens. He was looking for something. Yeah. Sometimes you watch those who come to church steady, whether it's really God or it's something else. Yeah, we've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. So he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. May that be God's promise and God's covenant to you in 2020. That he will not leave you until he will do everything that he has spoken to you of. Verse 16 says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. My message is just about a place. The title is just a place. In this fasting season, in this first few weeks in the year that we're going to wait upon the Lord in prayer and fasting, I want you to be sensitive about a particular place. You see, places are very, very important spiritually. Do you understand? There are places. Even in your life, there are some places you don't forget. The place where you met your first boyfriend. Johnny. Yeah. Is it in one of the I think one of these banks, they have this online banking, and some of the security questions, I remember one of the questions was, where the place you first met your spouse? Isn't it? And some of these internet banking people around here, one of the security questions is where you met your spouse for the first time. Yeah? You should know where you met your spouse for the first time. Sherwin, where did you meet Keji for the first time? Right here. So this is a place. For you, this is the place that
you should not be able to say the Lord was here and I didn't know.
When you found your wife here, you should know that the Lord was in this place and I knew it.
There's a place in your life. There's a place in your 2020 that is going to determine a lot of things spiritually for you.
Yeah. I'm talking about a place. The Bible talks about places. The Bible is not replete of places. Even when you talk about, you look at something like Noah's Ark. It's settled on Mount Ararat. That's a place. So when archaeologists wanted to look for some of these signs or marks or these objects in the Bible, they go to that particular place and they search for evidence. There's a tomb in Jerusalem, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, the place where the temple was built. Places. Important. Calvary. You can't forget Calvary. Calvary. How can you be a Christian and don't know where Calvary is or what Calvary is about? Then you're not a Christian. Gethsemane? You don't know Gethsemane? Bishop, I don't know what shop is that. It's a Chinese shop. Yeah. It's a Chinese shop. On Rob Street, Chinese shop. Gethsemane. You know Gethsemane? Never heard about Gethsemane? And you say you're a Christian? Something wrong. All the places that are mentioned in the Bible, it meant something to somebody. Mount Carmel. That's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. That's where Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Ashtaroth, that's where they met to call on fire. It's very important. Mount Sinai, Mount Olives. All these places, Hebron, Jerusalem, Judah, all these places, Samaria, all this is Judea, Capernaum, Galilee. These places, they all carry messages with them. So you just as you may have a physical place where you have memories, whether good or bad. You also have to this year. I'm talking to you this year. You have to now try and locate a place where you will find God. Whenever you go there, you feel God. You experience God. That God will speak to you and God will confirm his covenant with you. A place. And this place that we are talking about, Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. You see, I used a word. The Lord, I was talking to the Lord the other day and then there was something I was asking and he said, son, decipher this. So I was sharing it with some folks today. Decipher. Decipher means to what? To interpret codes into what? Something, a language that we can understand. To decipher. You have to be able to decipher places. That this place, when I come here, I feel lost. I feel like whining. I feel like sinning. Not here. You should decipher places. You should be able to identify places so that you won't go to places where you find yourself into trouble. You rather identify a place where when you go, you feel the presence of the Lord. Because many of us, even in a church, you don't feel nothing. This is how you're going to live your Christian life. You're likely not to go far. It could be in your house. But Jacob stumbled on this place. He was just going out. His father had sent him away after he took his brother's blessings. And as he was going, he just stumbled. He just got to a place and he just decided to just sleep there. Just lie down. Took some stones in the middle of nowhere. It was just by accident. But you see, this is a story that is telling us that
Nowhere is not nowhere. In the middle of nowhere is not the middle of nowhere. What you call in the middle of nowhere is probably where God really wants to draw you to and want to speak to you and want to fellowship with you and want to tell you some things about your 2020. Let me tell you, this year, if there's nothing at all, believe that God will speak to you personally about 2020 where you are concerned. But it will only happen at a place. At a place, yes. At a place. He awaked out of his sleep. Now, can you imagine that you sleep somewhere and then you feel like somebody pushing you down? I remember Lady Pastor Abigail told me at a point she moved from her house and she came to live in the church. So I was wondering, a big woman coming to live in the church, there's no kitchen here, there's no bathroom. The bathroom is for the boys. We intentionally didn't create no place for washing things in the female sanctuary. You know, you can't wash things there. But she came to live here for quite a good while. And I asked why. She said, Reverend, when I sleep in the church, I sleep good. When I sleep in my own 3-bedroom bottom flat, I don't sleep. I catch a lot of nightmares. See, she can't sleep. She has a whole downstairs, 3 rooms. But when she sleeps there, she doesn't get peace. So she moved from the house and came to sleep on the chairs here in the church. It's a place, oh. Who in their right senses lived their 3-bedroom apartment with all the chairs and the fridge and everything and just come and sleep on the chairs in the church with all these mosquito friends we have here? And it wasn't like one night or something. She moved here. When you come here in the morning, you see that she's here. And she was very smart. You will never see that she lives here. I'm sure some of you, if you live here, will just see it. You forget things at some places. You'll have to cast demons out of it or something. I'm talking about that place. I'm encouraging this year, this fasting, find a place. Find a place. And be sensitive to decipher, because it could be a place you find by accident, like how Jacob found this place by accident. In verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You see, like my experience is on the phone. It's a place. It's a place. Your experience may be in a dream. Now, when you dream, God speaks to you. It's also a place where you find God. So when you are actually troubled, try and find some sleeping tablet and sleep. Because you know that once you sleep, you should decipher what actually gets you closer to your Heavenly Father. If it is church on a Sunday, because I'm not making church, I'm not saying even church, because we come here for all kinds of things. You can't come here, it's one time, some of you. You get experience. Because as we are today, I was talking to a young lady. She said that she has a problem with people being on their phones in church. And there's a lot of people who go on their phones in church for no reason. They don't listen. They don't pay attention. Because there's no scripture. I'm now preaching. But you're on your phone. Which means that you're not paying attention to what I'm saying. The lady told me today in our church, she said she has a problem with people on phones. She thinks that people should leave their phones at home and come to church with a real Bible, hard copy Bible. I said, wow. I said, I wish you could change that. That's a give me the old time religion. Before the people call us, this church, when you go there, you can't take phones. I wish it was possible. But the phone thing. So many people are distracted when we come here.
Because we allow phones, Bible on phones. As you're on your phone, then a message comes in. And you think, you know, let me just reply this thing quick. Before I realize you have actually left a certain realm. You're gone. You don't hear anything. To me, I normally will leave my phone upstairs until the point when God, you know, needs to talk to me through the phone. Then sometimes when I go to my office, then I see that the message has come in. I mean, so I didn't miss it. It's there, but it's like the moment that it came. So sometimes I prefer to have it on me so that if I see, maybe he's telling me that I should look at you carefully because you something wrong with you, so that I can see, look at the person's face. No, one day I was in a meeting, and then I got a message. I got a sign that I should check my phone. When I checked my phone, he was actually telling me something about the meeting. Yeah. It was fantastic. So since then, I don't leave my phone upstairs. But when I don't also leave it upstairs, I don't get any message. But I've been here a few times where I've been communicating. Yeah. That's the place for me. No matter all the prayers, no matter all the Bible, no matter all the messages I listen to, the videos I watch, when I get a message here, it does something different to me. Yeah, he told me just the other day, he said, decipher, I want you to decipher. You sense and interpret some of these things into understandable language. You have to decipher the place. Because if you don't take care, sometimes you may not go anywhere. It's just your real morning going, come there. You don't even go out of your way so that God can even lead you into something. I remember the story of Kenneth Hagin when he was, he fell down and he broke his hand or something like that. And then he was admitted in the hospital. Then one night he was sleeping and the Lord Jesus entered the hospital, pulled a chair next to his bed and sat down and said, I made you fall so that I can talk to you. You are too busy. Yeah, I believe in visions. Yeah, the hospital was a place. If it is a hospital, Lord, let it be so. Meanwhile, you say, oh Lord, why? I tell you, say, health is for us. You are the Lord that healeth me. Why is it I'm in the hospital? Even in the hospital, you are restless. You should just take it quiet. Because, you see, it's coincidental. He said, the Lord is in this place. I mean, I don't know what Jacob was actually thinking, that when you go, hey, okay, God is here. Wow, okay. And that is why many of you don't find God here, because it is common knowledge that, oh, God is, we are going to church and God is there. But we don't find God in a church. If we find God here, Charlie, oh, many of you, you'd have been an angel by now. You'd have graduated to be an angel. Yeah. Lisa Robertson, you'd have been an angel by now. If church, coming to church, makes somebody an angel. Look at how long you've been here, and you are still the same way. Yeah. So some people are even getting worse. Because after a while, you begin to spoil. Nothing begins to affect you anymore. Nothing affects you anymore. You deteriorate. You're not impressed by anything anymore. Yeah. Paul used to talk about his Damascus experience. Every time he talks about Damascus, he said, oh, Agrippa, oh, Felix, what I'm saying, I'm not a mad person. One day I was this, I was a persecutor, I was doing this, I was going to Damascus on the road, and then there was a light. It's a place. My prayer for you this year is that you will come to that place. That place. That place. That place. That is why normally when you wherever you live, you even need a place. Your house, you need a room. You know, there are some people who are idol worshippers. In their house, they have a place where they have idols. The little corner where they have
with candles and an altar. Uh-huh. Some African gods and black, dark faces, ugly people sitting right there. And the candles and all kinds of things. And it's like there's a part here in the house where I come and I catch cramp. Is it cramp? You catching cramp in this part of the house. Your skin grow at this spot. It's at this place you don't sweep that place, because if you sweep, the gods there will be very angry. So you don't mop, you don't clean, you don't wipe right here in the corner here. That's what the Hindus do. Build something in the yard and they put some ugly things there. Yeah, carry fruits. Bring the fruits, let we eat the fruits, man. Get out of here. Yeah. The experience was wild. The ladder. Angels were coming down. Angels were going up. This is not a dream where somebody was pressing you down. And then when you're trying to say Jesus, it wasn't coming out. Hey, don't sleep in that place again. You deserve to be pressed down. Who would I ask you to go and sleep in that place? Now you see, even what I'm saying, you can have that experience and you will not even do anything about it. Sometimes where you are sleeping, you have to change that location or change that position. But all you say that, oh, I had a dream, and I rebuked it, and at the point, I was shouting, Jesus, 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 and nobody was hearing me. And then, and the next morning, you just go and sleep right there again. Next night, you're sleeping. Was it Pastor David who came from Ghana and said he'll come and break down all the Hindu temples? You remember? And then when he went to Babies, he went to rent a house next to a man there. A small one. He couldn't even jump the wall to go and do anything in the place. Yeah. And how can you sleep there and have good dreams? It's like your house is next to your burying ground. Yeah. And then you say, oh, this is the Lord's house. Wait. You find that place this year. Yeah. Be sensitive. He said, this is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. If you find the gate of heaven, Charlie, you have to open the gate too. How do you see the gate of heaven and you are the same? Let's see his attitude when he found the place. And this is what I want you to do this year. God is telling you, he's going to show you the place. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. When you find that place, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you make a mark, something that will remind you of the place that you will, whenever you go there, you see that, hey, this is the place. You see, when some people died on the East Coast Highway and all of that, the people have crosses right there. Yeah. Never forget the place where their loved ones died. They put a cross right there. I'm sure that's why people have those things in their homes. Some image, some candle, some incense, and Baku or something like that. Verse 19. He gave a name to the place. He gave a name to the place. Give a name to the place. I'm sure Peter will never forget the place where Jesus took him and Jesus transfigured before his very eyes. I'm sure in his normal rounds, whatever, if he's passing that place, he'll tell his wife, say, sweetie, hold on. Let me tell you something. Come, let me show you something. They said, you want this place? Right here. Right here. This is where it happened. I was there. He said, I was here, me, James, and John, and the master himself. We saw Moses and Elijah. You can look at these things and think, oh, this is superstition and all of that. No, there are some places that are connected to something with you. Even in our worldly lives, there are some clubs and discos you like to go. When you go there, you feel the night. You feel the night. You feel the vibes. Like the DJ in this place is good. Yeah. There's a particular place you go. Yeah. St. George's Cathedral or St. That's a place. Yeah. Yeah, church and whatever. Yeah, that's a place. Yeah. A certain time, a certain season. You know what I'm talking about. That's a place. He named the place. He said, and he called the name of that place Bethel. El is God. El is like LR. So Israeli airlines are called LR. Elohim. El Shaddai. So it's Bethel, which means the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So he changed, just like we have Canaan number two and we say Samaria. Yes, we have Isla Pensa, we say Hebron. It's a place. I mean, whatever it is, this is where ministry really took place. It jumped to a certain level. After moving from Mildred Mansfield, youth club building, and we went to St. John's College, and by the grace of God, God gave us this place. This place, Isla Penitence, here, Hebron. And you see, Hebron is a place where David ruled on before he became king of Israel. He ruled from Hebron. Before Samaria, there was a Hebron. It was Isla Penitence. Very prophetic. You know prophetic? It's prophetic. Yeah. David was able to rule the whole of Israel. But he did that after he had ruled from Hebron. Hebron was his base. From Hebron. And then from Hebron, he went to Jerusalem. So that's our Jerusalem across the river there. Yeah, convention time, you come, don't worry. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So that place could be, let's say, botanical gardens. It could be the zoological gardens. It could be some place around where you live that every morning or maybe a little late in the afternoon, you just go and take a little walk. But it's a place where God is waiting for you to come and just relax a little bit there for him to point out some things to you and speak to you. Let me tell you, we all need God to speak to us. You all need God to speak to us, I tell you. If you don't strive for that this year, I don't know what's going to happen. It's 2020. And we are using the book, the Anointing and the Presence. You must find a place where his presence is at. That you get some assurances. Let me tell you, when God speaks to you, it's a very interesting thing. You see, when you don't have experiences, you lack a certain depth. Angels don't sleep. I'll change your name to what? I shouldn't. Okay, so angels don't sleep. Put your wings back down and sit down. I've never seen an angel sleeping before. We fire from heaven, pa. There's a certain young lady who used to be in this church. One day, she called me. She was in Mocha and went to spend time by her uncle.
with her uncle. And
it was around 7, 8 o'clock. I don't know, was it Reverend Leary or Reverend Isan was with me? I went to pick up. Or maybe Greg. One of the guys was with me. This young lady called and said, something happened to her. I think the bathroom, you know, was outside. You know these outside bathrooms? There's aircon jacuzzi outside. There's a jacuzzi outside the house. It's spacious. She had gone to bath in the uncle's house. And then us, you know, sometimes when people are bathing, when the water flows down, you feel like passing water also, isn't it? That's happened to you too? Or you don't experience those things? It's not a place for you to pee-pee. Okay. So she said that she was passing water. And then from nowhere, she sees this little creature, girl or boy, little girl or little boy or something. As she was urinating, the creature was drinking the urine. So as she was urinating like that, the smoke creature was like a little one. Like that, drinking urine. She said she jumped. That's why she came to call me. So I said, but it's your uncle. Have you called your mother? I said, I called my mother. My mother said, she didn't send me nowhere. I gone by me uncle, so I better try there. So the next person, Carl Bishop. Yeah, Carl Bishop, for many years. So I call, other is Greg. I don't, Raphael, it's Greg, right? It's Greg. There was a guy called Greg. He's also another chapter of the church. So we went to Mocha to pick this girl, carried her bag, jumped into my vehicle, and then we're coming. She was terrified. We didn't see anything, we didn't do so. We were okay. Then when we go to Rahman's Park, where they normally put this Christmas tree, you're coming down the side to DSL. Then she started shouting. Look. She's on the road. I said, I'll drive over. She should be on the road. What are you doing on the road? I'm driving. If she's bigger than me, she's like, I will drive over she. But I remember, as we were coming, she was sitting at the back, and she was in the middle, and she was looking between Greg and myself, so you could see the street, you could see the road, and then we got to this person. Look, I said, let she lie down. I drive here. Let she lie down right there. Otherwise, whichever girl or whoever I went to, you come to drink somebody's urine, you come to lie down on the road, you lie down there, you see. You'll mash you, the urine will come out of your nose. Yeah. All these people, they don't even appreciate all your years of pastoral work. And they just pick up themselves and they just leave the church. Don't appreciate anything. It's okay. All the way in Mocha. Her mother told her, I ain't send you nowhere by you, uncle. You pick up yourself, you go by your uncle. You try there. The next person is Carl Bishop. And Bishop, when he called, he see church member, the phone number. Hello. Where are you? Mocha. Okay, where? I'm coming. Greg, let's go. Girl packed she back. She waiting on the roadside. Jump into the car. I said, Then upon the road, this girl come alive upon the road. The girl, she should have just, please. 20. You see, he could not resist. Because when you go through that experience at that particular place, he made a vow. No, I pray that you really... Wami, are you there? Wami? Wami? 2020. You see, is there silver rings? Oh, that's what makes you sleep. Oh. If you were to remove that, your hand would be lighter. It's too much weight. Goldie.
Jackman, what do you think? Yeah. You're not picking up yourself tonight. Why are you going so quiet? What happened? Somebody troubling you? I pray that you will really come to this place this year. Steve, I pray you come to that place this year. You know, I used to dream a lot after school. I think more when I was in Europe. I used to dream. And there was this particular dream I used to, almost every other day, sometimes like continuous. And when I get that dream, the dream is I go back to my school days. Because I was a boys prefect in school at A level, sixth form. So I'm always taken back there in the dream, still controlling students, telling them to do this, telling them to go here, you can't do that, this, punishing students and all of that. I used to get that dream all the time. It stopped when I came to Guyana. It's a place. No wonder I've been directing people. Yeah. When I came here, it stopped. He vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Jacob is a nice guy. If you meet a Jacob, you should marry him. All he's asking for is food to eat and raiment to put on. He's not asking for a vehicle. Food and clothing is enough for me. May you find your Jacob very soon. Or you don't want food, somebody who likes food and raiment. You want somebody with a big house. Big car. Trisha, big car. You don't want a Jacob who is only concerned about food and raiment. What kind of man is that? So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You know what God likes? God likes challenges. God likes challenges. Yeah, he does. I'm saying that when, even Samaria for us is a challenge. When the wine got finished at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, it was a challenge. He always shows up. He is the one who will always show up. He is forever sure, forever faithful. He will show up. 5,000 people, you are hungry. He said, prove me now herewith. And that is something that Christians of today don't even know how to do it. But you see, you can only move into vowing when you sense a certain presence. You can't just, Lord, if you give me a car this year, I will come to church every Sunday. 2020 is my year. Give me a 220 in 2020. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? That is why, if you watch T.D. Jakes when he's preaching, sometimes in his preaching, people go to the altar and they throw offerings on the stage. It's not everybody who does that. I've had experiences. You know it. You are witnesses. I'm here preaching ministry and then people come and just touch my shoe. I'm wondering, yes, my shoe is nice, but if there's something in me, I want to touch it myself. Oh. Yeah, what is this? You know, this people come and touch them. Me, I have the shoe in my house and me see nothing. You coming to touch me shoe. I should, when I'm sleeping, I should hold the shoe and sleep. I say, Lord,
You see, that is not my place. Yeah. I think the first time Sister Charlene said she was led to come and touch my shoe, she said, it was the me going nowhere. Why are you touching the man's shoes? What is that? What kind of thing is that? At the point that she got released in her spirit to come and touch. If she had told me earlier when she was coming out, I said, why are you touching my shoe? God loves vows. And so this year, my prayer for you is that you will come to that place and then you'll be provoked to make a covenant with God. And that the God of covenant, the covenant-making God, will show up in your life this year. Because when you continue in Genesis, Jacob came back to the same place and he discovered that, look, he saw the stone, he saw Bethel, and he said, ah, look at me, two wives. Look, sheep, goat, this, that. I have become a band. When I was going, I was nothing. As I'm going back to my father's house, I have become so mighty and major. It's like the God of Abraham has actually fulfilled the part of the deal. May the Lord fulfill the part of the deal you are about to make with him this year. You need a place, you need a place, you need a presence, you need a place, you need a presence so that the rest can follow. You need a place, you need a presence. If you don't sense the presence, whatever you say, whatever you do, that doesn't make sense. Because he's not there. You are speaking to something else. Sometimes, even during services like this, there's a moment where God shows up. People have told me that sometimes when I'm preaching, there's a point that they realize that this is not Bishop talking. That's the same place he put a stone there and he poured oil. He said, this place is God's house. This is God's house. To me, it's like, this place is the place. Anytime I'm worried, anytime I'm perplexed, anytime I'm frustrated, I will take time out and go to that place. Even if it's for 1 hour, I'll go back to Bethel. I'll go back to the house of God to have this thing with my father. May you discover that place this year in the name of Jesus. The place. It is the place. It is the place. It is the place where you find his presence, where the rest will come. You get a dream, you get the experience, you get an encounter. It is a place. It is a place. And that place has come this year. You will find. I prophesy over your life that this year you will come to that place. Then nobody will tell you to be serious with God anymore. We are tired of telling you to be serious with God. It's like we have a certain experience and you can't relate with it. He said, then shall the Lord be my God. He has been my father, my grandfather's God. He has been my father's God. Now, then will you be my personal experience. Now I will acknowledge indeed that you are my God. Without the experience, there's a certain conviction you may not be able to walk around with. Because you have not experienced him. There was never a place for you to experience him. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Give me you, everything has come away.
Give me you, hope not to lay. So Lord, give me you.
Everything else can wait.
Give me you.
me you, give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
It's me.
Satisfied.
Nothing in this world will satisfy.
Oh, Jesus, you are that cup.
Jesus, you're the cup, the water dry.
Oh, lifting up your hands to God tonight.
Your presence.
That presence, that place.
Is heaven.
It's heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. You are the treasure of my heart. Treasure
of my heart and of my soul. Yet you are
to see my
tonight, this can be your Bethel. Because God wants to appear and show himself to you. In Jacob's season of fear and anxiety, when he knew that his elder brother was after his life, God showed himself and assured himself. Assured himself. Assured him he was going to be with him. Tonight, this can be your Bethel. This can be the place where the ladder, Jacob's ladder, is stretched forth to the heavens, angels descending and angels ascending on it. And the Lord standing at the top, at the end of it, is speaking to you tonight. Just be sensitive tonight. Just be sensitive tonight. Be sensitive tonight. He wants to encourage you tonight. He wants to strengthen you tonight. He wants to empower you tonight. This can be your Bethel tonight, right here in this place. Lord, I call on your presence here tonight. Your presence. Your presence in this Bethel. This is the house of God. I ask for your presence. Your presence. Your presence. That same presence that Moses said that if your presence will not go with him, then don't send him. Don't send him. Lord, let that presence. Descend. Descend. And dwell. And rest upon lives tonight. Presence of God, the presence of God.
To Jesus, Lord Jesus, your presence,
your presence tonight, oh God, your presence tonight. Your presence here tonight, oh God. 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 Your presence here tonight, my God. Your presence here tonight, my God. Your presence, oh
Jesus. Your presence is
me. Like a mighty wind. Like a mighty wind tonight. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. Like the rushing of a mighty wind. presence of God. The presence of God. The presence. Yes, the presence. The presence. The presence. Yes. His presence. His presence. His presence. Yes. The presence of God. 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 Presence. Before I close, you're here tonight, you're not saved, you're not born again. I want to give your heart to Jesus tonight. If you're here, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand. Wherever you are, you want to give your heart to Jesus tonight. You want to give Jesus your heart tonight. Wherever you are, just your right hand. Say, Bishop, I want to give my heart to Jesus tonight. If you're here like that, it'll be exciting to welcome you at the cross. Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus tonight. Just your right hand wherever you are seated.
Open up the sky for the light rain. We don't want blessing. We want you. Open up the sky.
Thank you, Lord. Heart to Jesus tonight.
Open up the sky.
I'll pray for you. Why not?
Like fire. We don't want anything.
You want to join? Come. At least somebody has come for us, so you don't have to be shy now. You can join him. Say with me, Heavenly Father. Just join in as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to take control over my life. From tonight, I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is in the book of life. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I ask your presence to be with this young man, even as he has entered into the kingdom. Your word says that unless someone is born again, he cannot see. May he begin to see. May he begin to experience the kingdom of God. May he begin to experience your presence. May this be his Bethel, the house of God, where he will see and experience God in a different dimension. Thank you for his salvation tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.